Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, and it's a whole bunch of random verses, and I'll explain why afterwards. I'm going to read a few more than are in the bulletin, but I'm going to jump around a little bit, starting at verse 4. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat! We remember the fish that we ate at Egypt at no cost, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic, but now we have lost our appetite. We will never see anything but this manna." Manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went around and gathering it and ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into cakes, and it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. And then jumping to 18. "Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed, 'If only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt.' Now the Lord will give you meat and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day or 2 days or 5 or 10 or 20, but the whole month until it comes out your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?'" But Moses said, "Here I am among 600,000 men on foot and you say, 'I will give them meat to eat for a month.' Would they have enough if the flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them?" The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you." And then jumping ahead to 31. "Now wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It brought them down all around the camp, around 3 feet above the ground, as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers, which is roughly about 60 bushels. Then they spread them out all around the camp. While the meat was still between their teeth and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people and he struck them with a severe plague. Therefore, the place was named Kilroth Hatavah, because there they burned the people who had craved other food. From there, the people traveled to Hazeroth and stayed there." I jumped around, because if you look at the lectionary jumps around in that chapter, and it gives you the fun verses. I gave you the not-so-fun verses. So what I gave you, except a few much, are the verses that the lectionary skips for this passage. Because the story, you miss this kind of really, like, powerful image of God just being like, "You want meat? Fine. Here's all the meat you could eat. You'll be sick of it." But to understand why God is so frustrated and furious, you kind of need a little bit of background on why these Israelites might have been making God mad. If you go back to the Exodus, the Israelites cry out to God, "Save us from our slavery." They cry out day and night, "Save us from our slavery." And then God sends somebody to save them from their slavery. And they move on. And they are able to escape their captors. Now, this doesn't come easy. They don't, it's just not like a poof and they're saved. God sends them Moses, who ran away and came back and probably stuttered, and had to have somebody else speak for him. It didn't come at this easy thing. At the end of the plagues, they had to run away from their Egyptian captors. They had to cross the Red Sea. Only through God's power were they able to cross the Red Sea. They had to flee for their lives to get away from their slavery. It wasn't the easiest method, but God gave them what they needed in freedom of soul. Shortly after they get across the Red Sea, they're free, they celebrate, and then all of a sudden, we're hungry and you've given us nothing to eat. Why would you save us? We were better off in Egypt. Why would you save us? You should have just left us there. Now we're all just going to die. Well, God's like, fine. I will give you food. I will give you this food. It will give you everything that you need. You will be okay. You will live. And it comes in the form of manna. And manna are these little things that they have to grind and basically make cakes out of. I don't know why we say when we taste something delicious that it's the manna from God, because as I read this, I don't read something delicious. I read something bland and boring. It sounds like crappy bread. Olive oil and flour just put together and cooked, that sounds delicious. And so they have to labor 6 days a week. They have to collect this manna. Can't overcollect except on the sixth day of the week. They have to collect this manna. They have to grind the manna. They have to cook the manna. Every day, they have to put all of this effort into this food that has the nutrients they need, but does nothing else for them. It's just blah food that they have to work for. God gave them what they needed. And he gave them this temporarily. There's no, like, this is permanent. You will have this temporarily. But the food wasn't delicious by my reading. It was food. Just enough for them. And then the Israelites are like, oh my gosh, we have no water. And it's true. The human body, you need air, and then you need water. That's the second most important thing for the human body. You will die quite quickly without it. And so God tells Moses, hit the rock, and water will come out, and you can have your water. Now, I want to just put this in perspective, though. There's 600,000 people, and water coming from a rock. No one's getting this water quickly. Even if it created a stream, I cannot come up with a less effective way to get 600,000 people water. They're definitely not getting water quickly. They're definitely not getting a lot of water. This is enough to survive. And again, this is temporary. This is only supposed to last 2 years. But it's definitely not this great and awesome way to get all of the water that they need. They live, but they're probably not comfortable. In every aspect, though, when the Israelites cry out to God and say, we need this thing, be it freedom, which they need, like freedom is a necessary thing, food, water, God provided. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't the most comfortable. It wasn't the greatest option. But for every need that the Israelites lifted up, God provided. But, like the good, broken humans that they are, eventually our needs aren't enough. Now God needs to start giving us what we want. And so some of the rabble-rousers are like, you know, when we were in Egypt, We had delicious food. We had fish. We had melons. We had leeks. We had onions. We had garlics. We had everything, and it was free. Why did we ever leave Egypt? Which sounds like a compelling argument. It really does. Until you remember what they intentionally didn't say. We had all this free, delicious food because we were slaves, and the Egyptians beat us if we didn't make their monuments and their temples and their pyramids fast enough. So yeah, we had delicious food at the cost of being slaves, being tormented and beaten, of not having our freedom. And again, they have everything they need. They have the food, they have the water, they have air. No one is wasting away on this manna. It's not delicious, but it feeds you. It's like rice and beans. It's not amazing, especially after 4 or 5 days, but it will feed you. And so they're like, we need some meat. And God gets frustrated because they don't need meat. You don't need meat. Your pastor standing here today as somebody raised in rural Iowa, raised around cattle farmers, hog farmers, chicken farmers, other meat farmers, as somebody who grew up not realizing that if you order a vegetable burger at a restaurant, in most places, it's a vegetable based burger, not a beef burger with every vegetable on top of it. Straight up, first time I went to New York, I learned that a veggie burger could be not a hamburger with vegetables on it. Like, as somebody who grew up in this environment, I love meat. I eat meat. I eat too much meat. Just ask my doctor. Meat is wonderful. You don't need meat. Meat is unnecessary. You do not need it. Especially if you have this divine food, not delicious, but created by God to provide every nutrient that you need, and this thing not found in nature. You don't need meat, but they wanted meat anyway. And then, so Moses takes this to God, and he's like, God, they want meat, and God's like, I'll give you enough meat. And Moses is like, you can't possibly give us enough meat. And God's like, try me. Try me. And so God does it. God sends a bunch of birds outside the camp, and the birds die, and they pile up 3 feet high. And the people just think, free meat. No one's thinking, random dead birds, maybe we should be afraid. Maybe we should run away. No, free meat. And they take the birds back to the camp. And it says, and they lay them out. It says nothing about them cooking them. So I don't know if it's just not there or they didn't cook them. What's going on there? I like to think that they didn't cook them. They just took these birds that randomly died. They brought them back to camp. They dug their teeth into them and just ate these birds. And it says God punished them by giving them a plague, and many died. Take God out of the story for a second and just think about what they did. These random birds all just appeared and died, which makes me think they had a contagious disease that was deadly. It killed them. They piled up. I don't know if you've ever seen a pile of dead beings. It's not good. Bad things happen. Even if they all died of natural, healthy causes, you start piling them together, bad things start happening. And then they brought them into the camp, and they ate them. And then they were surprised that they got sick and died. How I put it in the manuscript is the punishment fit their stupidity. Nothing here that they did, nothing that God did to them, was beyond the natural consequences of their actions. They got birds that just randomly died and brought them into their camp. Their craving for meat was so great that they couldn't see how dumb this was, and they just took advantage. They wanted this thing so bad, even if it would kill them, which it did. And they learned a lesson here, that while wandering through the desert, they don't have refrigeration, they don't have salt. If they don't have meat, they clearly don't have salt. They don't have a way to preserve these animals. Meat will kill them on this journey. Manna? Manna's great. They can collect enough for a day's meal. They can eat. They'll be fine. Meat will kill them. But yet they want to go back to Egypt and get all that meat and those fish and those leeks and those garlic and that onions. It's great. Trading our slavery and trading things that will kill us for what God desires and desiring God. We get like that as a church. We absolutely do. We start thinking that we need these things for our church, even though they are simply wants. As everything that the church needs, God has given her. The church needs God. God's here. The church needs freedom of soul. We have the cross. The church needs connectivity. Say hi to the people that are around you that love you. The church needs things, and God gives the church those things. But then the church starts believing there are these things that it wants. And those things, it believes that those things are needs. The church wants a particular congregation to last 300 years, even if continuing will kill the souls of those that are in it. The church convinces itself that it needs more butts in the pews, even if what brings those people in does not actually fulfill their souls, but just entertains them. The church believes it needs a new program, a new this, a new that, a balanced budget, everything. The church believes that the church, the particular church, has to survive, even if it kills the souls that keep it alive. Are we desiring God? Connectivity, worship, freedom of soul. Or are we desiring our own earthly desires? Those things that mean nothing to God and can kill our souls. We need to desire God. Desire worship. Desire freedom of soul. Desire connection with each other. I've talked a little bit about this, and I'm going to talk more about this. As a church, the larger church, the whole body of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, and Grace Presbyterian Church of Fort Wayne, Indiana, are entering a period of wilderness. Or we are in the wilderness. And while we're crying out to God, as we tried to figure out our direction and the path, are we crying out to God asking for numbers and money and programming and fun? Or are we asking God for what we truly need? As we enter the wilderness and as we journey through the wilderness, may we desire God, manna and water, and freedom. not rotting birds and slavery. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.